Well, welcome everyone. What an amazing service so far. I've just been like, wow. So this morning, I actually want to talk about the perfect Christmas gift. So Ben, I thought almost you're going to steal. But it's just for me. It was like when I've been pondering, what was I going to speak on? And just so many things today have just confirmed that this is the right message to share. But first of all, I just want to read something out of Nikki Gumbel, who started Alpha, has these little books, and it's called Why Christmas. He puts them out. There's Why Easter and just Why Jesus. But I just want to read this to you. Why celebrate Christmas? There is something almost magical about Christmas. Children dream of Father Christmas and his fantasy sleigh. We picture Christmas trees, snowy scenes. Well, if you're in Europe, snowy scenes. Australia, it's more beach scenes. Filled up stockings, piles of presents and families, smiling families around the fire. The reality is often not as perfect as we imagine. Some people go over the top at Christmas. The overcrowding on the streets and in the shops can lead to so-called Santa claustrophobia. Overindulging takes its toll on family life. One 9-year-old boy wrote, "I know Christmas should be a religious time, but to me, Christmas is a time for the necessities of life, such as food, presents and booze." Another boy wrote, after breakfast, we go into the sitting room. Dad comes in drunk with mum's tights and an Indian hat on. His teacher wrote in the margin, "Good old Dad." For some, there is a danger of overspending, buying presents that others do not need with money they do not have. One little girl wrote to her granny, "Thank you very much for the nice gloves you sent me for Christmas. They were something I wanted, but not very much." Others can become over-demanding. One doting father asked his small daughter well in advance what she would like for Christmas. Shyly, she announced she would like a baby brother. To everyone's surprise and delight, her mother returned from hospital on Christmas Eve with a baby boy in her arms. When the father repeated the question next year, there was less hesitation. "Well, if it wouldn't be too uncomfortable for mummy, I would like a pony." But while some go over the top, others struggle. So for some people, Christmas is a difficult time of the year. For many, Christmas is one of the worst times of the year. Suicide rates go up. More people die from natural causes. Marriages fall apart. Psychiatrist patients suffer regressions and family feuds begin. One Mori poll suggested that there are 3 million family rows each Christmas. A newspaper article headed, "It Was Enough to Drive You Crackers," spoke of people breaking down at Christmas as a result of the pressure to be perfect. It is reported that two psychologists, a psychotherapist and a counsellor, were running a workshop entitled "Stress in the Family, Coping with Christmas." They said that part of its success seemed to be the chance it offered to get away from it all. The psychiatrist, Anthony Stort, in an article on depression at Christmas entitled "Cheer Up, It's Soon Over," had this final piece of advice. Remember that Christmas, although recurrent, it doesn't last forever. And with all the magic, the stress and the hype of Christmas, are we missing the point? What is the heart of Christmas? In the words of C.S. Lewis, at Christmas we remember the central event in the history of the earth, the very thing the whole story is about. And that is the perfect gift. So for me, gifts are really important. I know it's just who I am. I like to give gifts. And I like to make sure that I have the right gift for the right person for the right occasion. Even the wrappings and the cards matter. So I can stress as much about the card and the wrapping, sometimes about the gift that I purchase. So it's all got to be, it makes the whole thing. And I've agonized over gifts that I've given. Why? Why? Does it matter? People are going to rip it all off? Does it really matter? Because for me, I want the person that is receiving it to know that it was chosen, selected, purchased especially for them. So last Christmas, so we've got, as Charlie mentioned, we've got three children, one in Sydney, one here, and one in London. So last Christmas was our first Christmas that Brianna has not been with us for. And so for me as a mum, she's my baby, was a big thing. So I actually wanted to send her something and make Christmas feel really special. They were in lockdown. She's got no family. She didn't know what she was going to be doing. So I put together a big package. It was about 11 kilos that I sent to London. But I filled it with things. You know, there was presents, but there were things that were, I thought, were important to her. And some people would say, oh, that's really silly. But I filled little glass jars full of beach sand. So when she opened them up, she could smell them and it smelled like the beach. It reminded her of home. She sent me a video of when she opened up the box. So, and the whole time, like each present as she's pulling it out, oh, Mom, wow, you know. So it was, for me, I knew that I had everything that had gone in that box had been carefully selected for her. So it takes a lot of planning to do. And even when you're buying a perfect gift, it takes a lot to do. So let me ask you this question. Is there such a thing as the perfect Christmas gift? Yes? Is there a perfect gift? It's not a trick question. You can say yes, you can say no. It's not a trick question. So, yeah. So, for me, Christmas is, yeah, well, you know the answer. So, there is, but, there is a but. There is a perfect Christmas gift, and that perfect gift is actually Jesus. So he is the gift that has been given to us. But there's four elements I kind of feel that to make it a perfect Christmas gift. So before I get onto that, so Christmas can sometimes seem like a lot of work and we wonder, is it really worth it? Like all the hustle and bustle, the stress, the money, and it's one day. And you think kind of like, was it worth it? Was it worth it? And it's the memories and stuff that you create that do make it worth it. Sometimes when you buy a gift, you buy it and then you look at it later and you think, wow, was that really good value for money? I thought it was a bit bigger than it was. Have you ever, you know, like you get it home and then you wrap it and you think, oh, I'm not quite sure that was a... I know that I've second-guessed myself now. Sometimes you walk through the store four or five times, you go in with the intention of buying something and you come out... Have you ever come out with nothing? Okay, apart from Claire, Claire might be the exception to the rule. I know that I have gone in thinking I know what I want, looking for exactly, but I just can't seem to find it. How do you know the perfect gift when you see it? What requirements does it have to meet? Does it have to meet a certain weight? Does it have to meet a certain size? Does it have to come from a certain store? Does it have to have a designer label? And who decides it's the perfect gift? The giver or the receiver? So what's a gift? What's a gift? A gift is something that we give willingly to someone without payment. We give gifts to reconfirm or reestablish our connections with others, which means it can be a reflection of both the giver and the receiver, as well as a unique relationship. Giving a gift to someone we care about allows us to communicate our feelings and our appreciation for them. So I want to talk to you about the perfect gift. And there is one perfect gift, and that's Jesus. So if you want a perfect gift, it has to be personal. It must be personal. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Like Ben said, you know, God, he stepped out of heaven and came to us. You know, like, how personal can you get? Would you give up your child for the whole world? But that's what God did all those years ago. It's personal. It was a personal gift to us. How many of you leave your shopping to the last minute? Husbands? Rushing out Christmas Eve. I've got to buy something. And you pick up the first thing that you see. Or is it the last thing that's left on the shelf? You know, a gift, if it's going to be appreciated, it needs to take into consideration the person that you're giving it to, their likes, their dislikes, their personality, their needs, their interests. I couldn't just run, if I was running out of gifts or if I didn't have a gift, I couldn't just run to my closet, pick out a dress and give it to Caroline Moore. You know why? Because we're different. My taste is not what Caroline likes. It has to be personal. So when God sent Jesus, his Christmas gift to us, it was personal. It was God's personal son, his only son, the son that he loved. And it was tailor-made for you personally. So the gift of Jesus for me from God is not the same as it is for Evina. It's different. It's a personal gift to you. He was tailor-made for you. He came to die for your sins, my sins, the ones that I've committed. Like Jesus didn't come to me because of what Greg has done. Jesus came to me because of what I've done. And he came to bring personal forgiveness, personal salvation, personal peace. God didn't just pull any angel off the shelf and send it saying, well, I have to give them something. God considered it, and that's why he sent Jesus. It has to be a practical gift. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we've all sinned. We're never going to come up to God's standard, and that's why Jesus came. Jesus came because it was a practical, the only way that the bridge could be built was for Jesus to come. Philippians 4 verse 19 says, I'm convinced that my God will satisfy every need you have. So everything you need, God will meet it. What did the bald man say when he got a comb for Christmas? Did he say, great, fantastic? It was an impractical gift. He couldn't use it. We once had a neighbour and he thought it would be really great to buy his partner a vacuum cleaner for Christmas. Guys, is that not a good gift to buy your wife at Christmas? It was practical. He thought it would be a great gift. He couldn't understand why she was upset. Gifts do have to be, I like gifts to be practical, but I also want them to be needed, personal. Sometimes we get things that we just think, what am I going to do with this? I'm never going to use this. So they end up being the, you know, there's at the end of the year, sometimes you have the, go to those Christmas party Secret Santa things. You think, I'm just going to get rid of stuff. Another gift for the pile I'll give away. Sometimes op shops, they get given all the unwanted gifts at Christmas. Yeah. Sometimes gifts that you get given are totally useless, but you try and find a use. God knew what we needed, and that's why he gave us Jesus. We didn't need another ritual. We didn't need another commandment. We didn't need another prophet. We needed a saviour, and that's why he sent Jesus. There was only one that could fill the bill. We needed a redeemer, someone that could come and buy us back from what we'd done, someone who could pay the price so that we would not have to, and that was Jesus. Number three, has to be a pleasing gift. Psalm 107 verse 9, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. The perfect gift is one that satisfies a person. There is a longing in every person's heart. Every person's heart. No matter how much they try and deny it, there is an emptiness that only Jesus can fill. When we give a gift, we want people to like what we bought. don't we? Part of the gift giving is knowing that the person who is receiving our gift likes it. You know, when, I mean, those who've got little kids, how much joy there is when the kids, as they're, when they're little, are unwrapping their presents. Oh, wow, Mum, thanks. This is what I wanted. That's what we want. Jesus is a pleasing gift. It satisfies our soul. He's not just the right gift. He's the perfect gift. He's the one, he's the gift that fills that. Jesus is also a permanent gift. Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's the gift that we get given that we can never lose. He is always there forever, eternity. We might choose to walk away, but you know what? He's always there. We get given gifts. Can you honestly remember the gifts that you got when you were 6 years old?
No.
Did it last? Oh, well, some do. Some gifts don't make it through Christmas Day. The arm gets broken off, the wheels fall off, the batteries run out. Some presents, you want them not to last through Christmas Day. They're noisy. I remember when we lived in Albany for a long time and we used to come up for Christmas, and Jordan, our eldest, he would have been about 2 or 3. And my brother likes to buy the noisy presents. So he bought Jordan an ambulance and a fire truck with flashing lights and sirens. And I think the whole trip home to Albany, it was like, oh, please, when are those batteries going to run out? And he's always been, he goes, I'm the noisy present uncle. So they do. Presents that you get that don't work, have to take them back. Some others last longer, but they do eventually break or rust or wear out, or we grow out of them. The perfume bottle gets emptied. The clothes don't fit anymore. The kids get bored with the games. They grow up. It's too old. They're too young. The perfect gift is one that will never break. It will never be outgrown. It will be never outdated. It's one that will always be needed, always be satisfying, and always be desirable. One that lasts as long as we do. There are some gifts that do last a long time. Jewelry, furniture, paintings. But you know what? Eventually, they do wear down. But when God sent his perfect gift, it was permanent. He sent his love, his forgiveness, his mercy, his presence, his strength, his help, his guidance, and much more through Jesus. And it's not temporary until we mess it up. It's us. We're the one that mess it up. He doesn't get tired of us. He doesn't find someone new. Jesus is an eternal gift that God has given, and he will never take it back. Never. It's yours forever. Even if we blow it, he won't abandon us. God is not an Indian giver. When he acts, it's eternal. We are eternally saved. We are eternally his forever, no end. How many gifts do you know that meet all four of those requirements? That it's personal, that it's practical, it's pleasing, and that it's permanent. How many gifts have you bought this year that will meet all four of those? Very, very few. And I know most people have already done their Christmas shopping. The presents are wrapped, they're under their tree. Who still has to buy something? Who's still got to go shopping? Melanie! I've done some. Mine are posted. They're done. They're gone. I've got a few to do. But can I just ask, that as your gifts are given and received, or if you're still shopping for gifts this week, I want you to remember these four requirements. And then, when you're thinking of still buying that gift, think of the four characteristics of the perfect gift from God. And if you do, just whisper maybe a little prayer and thank God for the greatest gift that you have ever been given. You know, that video clip that we showed before, Claire, where they're talking about the kids, you know, they are there giving gifts. Do you know something? A gift doesn't have to cost a lot of money. It doesn't have to be perfectly wrapped. If it's coming from our heart and giving in the right spirit, you know, like, you can be amazed at how incredible it can be. We had a family Christmas event last night, and just watching kids, they've never met each other, but they just, straight away they're friends, straight away they're playing, straight away they're interacting. You know, that's what we need to be like. We carry the gift that God has given us. I'm a walking gift for somebody. I carry the message of hope. Can I have the band up, please? I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm just going to ask you to just sit in your seats. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and just put your hands out in front of you. And I want you just to think about what Jesus has done for you. What does Jesus mean for you? Who is he to you? Is he that perfect gift? Today, you know, he's knocking on your heart. And I think we've all got so far to come, to go. But, you know, Jesus is there saying, you know, I want you to have a deeper relationship with me. I want to be everything to you. I want to be that personal gift. I want to be that practical gift. When no one else can meet it, I want to be the one that meets your need. I want to be that pleasing gift that you're satisfied with him. Nothing else can satisfy, but it's also permanent. So I just want you to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, today we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift that came as a baby, but died years later on a cross. It's a gift that brings hope. It's a gift that brings life. And today, Father God, we just stand before you and acknowledge that we need Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. Father God, I just surrender my heart to you today. Now, if anyone's prayed that for the first time, or even the second or the third time, or you just want to just come into a better understanding of who Jesus is, can I just ask that you pop your hand up? Okay, I see your hand. And if you want to know more about who is Jesus, you know, just look, there's, you can come down the front. I'm going to leave the altar open if anyone wants to come and get prayer. But Jesus is the most perfect gift that you can have. Father, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you for the people that are here today. I thank you for the gift of your Son, Lord, that you've given us life. And that, Lord, as we go out of these doors, that, Lord, that we will be carriers of the good news. Lord, the people that we interact with, Father, I just pray that we will ask for divine connections in the weeks leading up to Christmas. Lord, that checkout girl that maybe looks a bit sad, Father, I just pray that we'll be sensitive to those around us, to our families who don't know Jesus. Father, we are a gift to our community because we carry the good news of Jesus. Thank you, amen. Church, let's go. Let's go and celebrate. Let's love on other people as we go out this week, the week before Christmas. Go introduce yourself to your neighbour. Take them over, even if it's a tin of bought cookies, go over and say hello, introduce yourself. Let's share who Jesus is in this time. Thank you. Let's go.